Revelation 19 in your Bibles tonight. Revelation is a book of eschatology. Eschatology is the study of last things or future things. How you interpret the Bible and how you interpret Revelation determines your belief system. Many people in the world take an allegorical approach, meaning a non-literal approach to the Bible that is either figurative or symbolic. And this gives man an out for not obeying God for anything he doesn't like. He can just say, well, that was just a symbol, you know, just means a figurative thing. We believe in a literal interpretation of the Scripture and not fanciful interpretations. Usually those folks who hold that are amillennial, meaning they do not believe in a millennial kingdom. No millennial, A in front of a word means no. And they may or may not hold to a rapture of the church, but the amillennialists and those who take an allegorical approach to the Scripture often replace all the promises and direct speaking of God to Israel, they replace that with the church. I want to say very clearly, the church does not replace Israel. There's a specific place for the church in the end times and a specific place for Israel in the end times. Now, some hold a view called the preterists who see Revelation as past history, the conflicts that happened among Israel and the early church in Rome, such as 70 AD. They see as Matthew 24 being fulfilled in those events that transpired in that day and time. But we believe very clearly those events have not been fulfilled, but yet will be in a literal way. The historical approach to Revelation is seen as symbolic and a presentation of the old age-old battle of good versus evil. And it culminates in what they believe, the post-millennial return of Christ. In other words, they believe Christianity will convert the world, and then after everybody in the world becomes a Christian, then the Lord will come back and rule and reign. Well, we think it's pretty obvious that we're not converting the world. There are far more lost people today than there ever have been. The post meaning after the kingdom. And this view had some following after World War I and World War II, when there was some times of growth and peace and prosperity taking place in the world. But it never had biblical background or biblical backing for that view or that belief. The ones who follow that still today are these prosperity preachers. And they have an ulterior motive for following post-millennial teaching. And that is, if you give them enough money, they'll convert the world to Christ so Jesus can return. One of the big proponents of this was the Crouch fella, who was the head of TBN television. And he raised millions upon hundreds of millions of dollars, put a satellite in outer space for Christian television programming. And Jim Baker was a proponent of it, and they taught that the satellite in outer space could change languages for all people, and that would be the angel that would fly through heaven giving out the gospel in the last days. I want to say to you, my friends, that God doesn't need a satellite to do His will. He will have His angels bring the message of the gospel in the last days in Revelation. Now, I hold, as most conservative Bible scholars do, to what is called a futuristic approach. An approach to interpreting the Bible based on a historical, grammatical interpretation of the Scriptures. And often we simply refer to it for simplicity as the literal method of interpretation. In Revelation, beginning with chapters 1 through 4, John was to write the past of what he had seen and the present of what was going on. He was to address this message to the seven churches of Asia Minor of that day. And then beginning with chapter 4, everything from there forward was future from John's day. Now, we're nearer to the fulfillment of those future things than we have ever been. Israel has been regathering in the land just since 1948, when they were given land and statehood to become a nation again after World War II. After the Six-Day War that they fought with the Arabs, they expanded their territory, and this gave them more of the property, not anywhere near everything God gave to them, but more of the property for them to live and expand to build a greater nation of Israel. Now, this also caused a great problem with those people who lived in that area who got replaced and moved out of that area. So they have developed many enemies, some because of that and some just because they're Jews. The Muslim nations, some of which are Moslems, spelled M-O-S-L-E-M-S. Moslems are descendants of Abraham who are not Jewish. And many of those nations have peaceable relations. They are all cousins of the Jews because they are descendants of Abraham. Let me again remind you all, we are of one blood, and technically we're all cousins. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve, and our ancestry goes back to the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and every person walking on the face of the earth is a descendant in some way from those three tribes of men. But the strict Islamic nations of the Muslim religion believe in the total annihilation of Israel. They will not be happy unless Israel is pushed into the sea, as they have said publicly many, many times. Now, they want the total destruction and devastation of the nation of Israel. And so some of those nations have become very large and very large military powers. Iraq, Iran, Syria, Assyria. These nations are around Israel and are their borders, and the only thing else on the backside is the Mediterranean Sea. And so in the end time, in Revelation, there will be a great battle where all these nations will come against Israel in the Valley of Megiddo, and Christ will fight the battle there, the Battle of Armageddon. Now, in that, there will be the use of Russia and China. Russia is the land of the north. China, the kings of the east. And these will come against Israel in that day. Now, Christ will destroy them. Now, those who hold to this futuristic approach of interpretation usually hold to a premillennial return of Christ, meaning he will come back to this earth before the millennial kingdom. Let's read Revelation 19. And beginning with verse 7 down through verse 16. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now many who hold to the premillennial return of Christ hold to a pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Some have adopted the mid-trib rapture position. that gained a lot of notoriety some years back when it was changed from simply being called mid-trib to being called a pre-wrath rapture. And the pre-wrath influence, Marv Rosenthal wrote a book, and he was funded by a multimillionaire who held that mid-trib rapture position. And that fella funded them building the big amusement park down in Florida, which was supposed to be a remake of the city of Jerusalem and show the priesthood and all that sort of thing. And they held that position, and it got some following. But we who hold the view of the premillennial return of Christ see the promises to Israel are literal and are not taken over by the church and not fulfilled as they will be in the future by Israel themselves. Now, the church is the bride of Christ. Christ died for us to deliver us from the hour of temptation that will come upon all the world. Revelation chapter 3. And with the seventh church in chapter 3 of Revelation, we find the last church of the church age. And then chapter 4 of Revelation begins. And John sees an open door in heaven, and he hears a trumpet, and he's caught up into heaven. And that is a symbolic representation of the church being taken to heaven to be with the Lord in what we call the rapture. I've explained before 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 17, when it deals with the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the air. When we are caught up, there's where the word rapture comes from in the Latin translation. It means a forcible seizure. From the Greek word, it means the same thing, a forcible seizure. Christ will forcibly seize his church and take us to heaven to be with him out of the realm of Satan's control in this present evil world in which we live. But there will be a multitude of people who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who will be left behind on this earth to go through the tribulation. Now, the church is not mentioned again until chapter 19 of Revelation when it's speaking of the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the righteousness of the saints is that. And we will be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that is the only emphasis of the church in all these chapters from Revelation 4 till Revelation 19. Christ promised not only to come for his church, but he also promised to come again to this earth and to judge the wicked and evil and Satan and the beast and the false prophet, and that he would set up his kingdom for 1,000 years, Revelation chapter 20. Now, we saw the four hallelujahs in Revelation 19 the last time I spoke on Sunday night from Revelation. We saw the praise to God along with all of the angels in praising him for his attributes and his holiness and his mighty works and for salvation, bringing judgment upon the unbelieving world. If you want to turn, I'm going to look at a couple of passages in Psalm and then in 2 Peter, Psalm 58, and verse 10 and 11. I'll turn quickly and read quickly, so if you want to just hang on. Psalm 58, verse 10 says, "The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. So that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous, verily he is a God that judgeth in the earth." And then in Psalm 96, Psalm 96 and verse 11 through 13, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. And then in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So our text in Revelation 19 shifts from earth to heaven. God has promised out of his judgment upon earth, he's poured out all that he promised to do in Revelation 6 through 19. And then he comes out of heaven down to the earth to judge the earth. The kingdom of Antichrist and Satan, and to fulfill his plan of salvation with the nation of Israel. He will deliver those that are still alive who are believers. And we will return to the earth with him after being in heaven with him during the tribulation period. Now, Psalm 104 in verse 33 through 35. The psalmist foresaw these days. He wrote in Psalm 104, verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. The day of the Lord, the day of judgment, the day of the tribulation will come. But the Lord will first rescue his church, and then he will begin to bring judgment upon the earth to punish the wicked. And through this, Israel, the 144,000, will be saved and preach the gospel, and there'll be a multitude of those from every tribe and every tongue and every nation that will be saved. I feel many of them will be people who've never had the gospel presented to them and had opportunity to reject. Now, we saw in the Hallelujahs it's a time to rejoice and give honor and glory to the Lord, the bridegroom. It's time to see the bride, the church, adorned in her wedding dress. It'll be the church washed and clean and rewarded. We are granted crowns upon our heads as rewards. And these will be like the great wedding dress garments that give all praise, honor, and glory to the Lord, because it's from him and by him and through him that we obtain these rewards. It'll be a time to sit down in peace and rest and enjoy a great meal at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are to rejoice and praise the Lamb. John 1:29, John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the disciples and to the nation. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb. He is also called the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the tribe of kings, and he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the one who prevails upon the earth over all the evil and wicked, and he will bring destruction to them. Nations will make war with the Lamb, Revelation 17, 14, and he overcomes them. And we who are called and chosen and faithful will be with him and will sit down with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. It will be a time of great celebration. Be a great feast, young man. It'll be a time to eat some wonderful food. You say, what kind of food we're going to eat? I have no idea, my friends. But I trust the Word of God that that's a literal interpretation. It'll be like a Jewish wedding where the father made arrangement for the bride. Abraham made his servant swear to go and get a bride for his son. And he did that, and God helped the servant to know to pick Rebekah to bring back for Isaac to marry. And the Holy Spirit is helping bring the bride together for Christ even now. And you and I are allowed to be, once we're saved, to be a part of co-laborers together building the church for Jesus Christ. Then the Son would prepare a place for the bride. And Jesus is in heaven today preparing a place for you and for me. And we all like to think when the day comes that it's ready, we're either going to pass away to go to receive our reward, or the Lord's going to come back and take us all to heaven when He finishes everybody's place. The Father would say, "Everything is now ready, my son. Go and get your bride." And the Lord Jesus will come for the bride in the clouds, call us up to heaven. There'll be the voice of the archangel, the shout of God. There'll be the trumpet of God. And we will go up to heaven and with Jesus return to the Father's house. Now the marriage supper of the Lamb takes place here as Christ returns to earth. And normally a Jewish celebration would be a week-long wedding celebration, and then the uniting of the actual marriage ceremony would take place. It'll be a time to be in awe of the bride, a time to be in awe of the Lamb, the bridegroom. Israel was an unfaithful wife unto Jehovah, and Jesus has made opportunity for us to be cleansed of our sin and washed of our iniquity and made pure in the eyes of God. In Ephesians 5, the church is compared to a relationship between a husband and wife and all the attributes that go along with that. We'll be washed and bathed and perfumed, and white robes will be issued based upon our righteousness. And we will join with the Lord as His church and give honor and praise and glory to Him. And we'll sit down at that great supper. It'll be a time of the gathering of the people. But only those with an invitation will be allowed to come. Only those with a wedding garment will be allowed to participate. And all others will be cast out into outer darkness. Now Christ will return personally and visibly to this earth in the second advent at the end of the tribulation. He'll return into the clouds to call the church up to Him before the tribulation begins. He'll come in the second advent suddenly and dramatically, like the lightning splitting from the east to the west, and He'll come to take vengeance upon the earth. He will come in a display of glory. When He returns, the Bible says, when we go to heaven, it's for the church. It'll happen in a moment, in a twinkle of an eye. But when He comes back to the earth in the second advent, every eye on earth will see Him as He comes in His glory. He will come with His angels, and the angels will be sent forth to gather the nations, to gather the wicked to the battle of the great day, to gather the scattered Israel together to enter into the kingdom. He'll come with His bride, the church. Thank God we live in this church age, and we don't have to go through that awful time of the tribulation. Can you imagine the people that live very close down there in Florida with that collapse of that condominium complex and all these dead bodies that keep being pulled out of all that rubble? That's just one building, my friends. Imagine in the tribulation period when there's all kind of war taking place and the judgment of God and earthquakes and all the tragedies and cataclysmic events from heaven that will be coming to the earth and happening that people will have to go through. California right now today was projected to have 117 degree temperature. I'm glad I don't live out there. Oregon and Washington State and California, the West Coast, 117 degrees. I thought it was terrible at 91, you know. I felt like I was going to perish. I would not want to be in the tribulation. Thank God He will deliver us from that hour of temptation. He'll return to the Mount of Olives, the same place He left from in Acts chapter 1. He will return to in Zechariah 14:4, and He will descend onto the Mount of Olives, and there He will make judgment upon the earth. Zechariah 14:9 promises the Lord will be king over all the earth, and He will be King of kings and Lord of lords. And then in the latter part of Revelation 19, it explains that He will triumph over Antichrist and the false prophet and over Satan himself. And then He'll set up His judgment of the great white throne where all the lost will be judged according to their works and be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. My friend, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, don't put off getting saved. If you'd read Revelation and see what the world's going to go through and how only about between one-third and two-thirds of people alive in that day will survive to the end of it, and all that are lost will be cast into the lake of fire, you ought to run down to the altar to get saved and know the Lord and know forgiveness and cleansing of your sin and a home in heaven and the promise of a new body and be with the Lord at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Father, I thank You for the faithfulness of Your people tonight. Ask Your blessings upon them. Encourage them in the Lord. Help us all to see what Your Word teaches and believe it and share it with others who haven't been told. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.